The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Can't be too much more of this. England on the very verge. These players will go down as history men. The whistle goes. The three Lions roar into a final to end the years of flops and failures, penalty misses and pain. They've done it tonight. Into a final for the first time since 1966.
It wasn't all a dream, Frank. It was real.
You know, there's so many things to say. You know, I think it's still there.
I know, you've been in a weird mood since England qualified. Welcome to the show. Frank with us here in the studio, as is Casey Keller. And we say happy birthday, ladies and gentlemen. Ali Moreno, as a birthday treat, Ali watched every single Messi goal in La Liga, and he'll be bringing us his top 10 later
from
on.
From way back when, by the way.
Yeah, I bet. That's a lot of goals to go
it's
through.
A lot of goals, a lot of free kicks.
We'll be showing that later. Plus, of course, we'll be looking ahead to the Copa America final on Saturday between Brazil and Argentina. We heard his voice. Ian Dark is also with us as well as we kick things off by talking about England and the celebrations that we have seen, wow, all around the country over the last 24 hours. I'm sure there were some sore heads this morning. Everybody partying, everybody celebrating. Of course, for many, this is the first time they have seen the English men make the final of a major tournament. But of course, it wasn't that, just a little bit of controversy.
Fine. Fine.
Sterling zipping around Mailer, still got it as well. Sterling goes down, referee says penalty. A penalty for England, and Sterling's dazzling dribbling induced that. And he does it, but he gets another chance and puts it in. And England lead 2-1. Kane on the rebound. Bedlam at Wembley.
Yes. Let's get straight to it. Yes. Is this a penalty, Stevie?
No, it's not a penalty.
For me, it's not a penalty. We come from a different kind of soccer.
Right.
Different kind of penalties. So it's really, really too light to go down in that way.
Even Alessandro said, even in Italy, it's not a penalty. I tell you.
All you need to know.
That says all. That says all, you know.
I thought it was a penalty. I'm in disagreement with everybody in the studio.
I went into the box and he stuck his right leg out and it touched my legs. So it's a clear penalty.
You don't want to be going out of a competition to an appalling decision like that. And I thought it was.
It's one of them penalties which, as a referee, do you really want to settle a match on this type of decision? Once there's contact, there has to be absolutely no contact for the referee to overturn that. And once there's contact and Sterling's running at pace, the referee is automatically going to give the penalty. Would I want to give it in such a big match? I'm not sure.
It was a penalty that shouldn't have been a penalty, so it's something that that annoys me right now.
So we score for
the view live, to be honest, seems penalty.
Yeah, no? Yeah, yeah.
When you see it very fast.
Yeah.
And
sure. Yeah.
But then when you see on replay, you say,
no. I don't think that's enough to give a penalty in that situation. And I think it's a huge shame for Denmark, but to win it like that with a dubious penalty, I thought it was a shame.
Everyone has an opinion on whether or not it was a penalty. Gary Neville, never a penalty in a million years, but honestly, I don't care. Jose Mourinho, it was never a penalty, especially at this level. The semi-final of a Euro, I don't understand the decision. Arsene Wenger, no penalty. I don't understand why in situations like that, the VAR, the referee doesn't go and look on the screen. In a moment like that, he has to be absolutely sure. You know how I'm drawn to on this panel to discuss this? Vamos Venezuela.
You know I'm very permissive when it comes to drawing fouls, quote-unquote diving, drawing penalties. And I can tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, 100% no penalty. I know a dive when I see one. Let me repeat that. I know a dive when I see one. When Raheem Sterling gets around Melee, he's already made a decision that he's gotten himself in a position where Melee is trailing the play. And so therefore, any sort of contact, any sort of touch, any sort of anything, he's already going down. He's already, in Raheem Sterling's mind, thought to himself, okay, I got him. If he's gonna go and challenge for this ball, there may be a contact and there may be an opportunity for me to go down. And I don't criticize Raheem Sterling at all for this, because had I been in his position, I would have done exactly the same thing. The person that I criticize here, referee to some degree, but most of all, the VAR official who doesn't say to the referee, buddy, you gotta take a look at this. This is a big moment, big decision. Make sure that you're making the correct play.
But as Mark Clattenburg said, once there's contact, no matter how minimal the contact, VAR are helpless, really, in that situation.
Sure. That's obviously, we're only a couple years into this, this VAR situation. And it's been tweaked multiple times. And this might be another one of those occasions where they need to look at this and say, you know, maybe we need a different ruling that gives the referee or gives VAR that opportunity to say exactly what Ollie just said. Hey, maybe you should go look at this. The other problem is I think we've seen it throughout the tournament, is the referees don't want to contradict each other.
Mm-hmm.
So unless the VAR is 100% sure, because the last thing, when have we seen one time in this tournament where VAR has gone to the referee, said, go have a look, and the ref said, nope, VAR, you're wrong.
Yeah.
My call's right. Every time they've gone over, they've confirmed it. Mm. So there's some egos there at play as well, and they haven't quite worked out all the bugs yet.
I have another question. As the penalty would have been in the other side for Denmark, as the foul, somebody, a Danish guy, a Dane, would have fallen down, do you think that a German referee would have given a penalty?
It was a Dutch referee.
Well, the Dutch referee.
I don't think so.
100% with the fans and everything, I'm pretty sure that guy would say, ooh,
I will
wait for the VAR.
Frankie, you would have seen this.
Yeah.
You know?
And then a little wave to the fans.
Yeah. and then said, I can drive home without any problem now.
Ian, you could hear almost in the tone of your commentary that you were surprised that it was given.
Yeah, I think it was a soft penalty. I wouldn't go so strongly as Ali has on it. I think Danny McAlee is one of the top referees, and Mark Clattenburg, who's been working with us, will tell you that as well. He thought it was a penalty. And he thought that, I think, because look at it again and ask yourself, what is Mailer doing? What is Jensen doing? What is Vestergaard doing? None of them are trying to win the ball. They're trying to stop Sterling's path of passage. And there is a contact. It's a very minimal contact, but he's travelling at speed. He goes down. The VAR has looked at it and said, well, I don't see anything there to strictly rule this out, Danny, if you think that this is a penalty kick. So that's why it was given. Are we all saying that we know better than the best referees in the world? Because sometimes we're guilty of that. What is Mailer doing there? Tell me what Mailer's doing. He's not playing the ball.
Ian, I'll ask you a simple question, and don't give me this sort of nonsense answer of that's what the referee saw, this is what Mark Clattenburg saw, this is why they didn't call it back. I'm going to ask you simply, in your mind, is this a penalty, yes or no? Know what they said, know how they framed it, not how they explain it, yes or no, do you think that's a penalty?
I don't think there's enough in it, to be honest with you, for it to be a penalty in the normal run of events. Yeah. I think what any England fan would say to you, Harry, if you want to go back in history, England have had some pretty rough breaks in tournaments, and maybe they were due one. When you think of the silly David Beckham sending off in 1998, the winner against Argentina from Sol Campbell, nobody can still understand why that was ever ruled out. Glenn Hoddle's still wondering even today, and he was the manager at the time. A lot of little things like that. The Frank Lampard shot that was over the line against Germany in 2010. Okay, that's all history. And I understand that Denmark feel very, very aggrieved. And I sympathise with that. England would have felt very aggrieved if the match had been decided in Denmark's favour in that way. But I think there was minimal contact. But it was too minimal, really, to give a penalty. But
so the answer is no.
The answer is no.
The answer is no. Okay.
But I'm an Englishman.
The thing is,
to understand how it works and how we see football, what does Raheem Sterling, it's really fantastic in a way that he knows, as Ali said, he knows exactly what's going to happen.
Right.
Malik comes and he puts his leg and stops. Suddenly he knows that he won't touch the ball, so he stops. But you see the right leg of Raheem Sterling going towards Malik Fibler and hitting it. Right. So it's even a question of who hits who.
Right.
But that's very clever that we go so fast that the guy knows exactly what's going on. He said, I'm going to be pushed by Jensen. I'm going to touch at the same time the leg of Malik. Nobody can say no penalty.
Here's the other thing that I'll tell you. Raheem Sterling turns that corner and he sees now the defenders collapsing on him. He knows he's running out of time. He knows he's running out of space. There is no passing lane. How do I make the most out of this play? I'm going down, baby. Well, and I'm forcing a call here, sure, one way or the other.
And what's the risk reward for Sterling?
Yeah.
Sterling, I win a penalty and I go to the final, or I get a yellow card.
Right.
Yeah. I think I'll take that gamble yellow card.
He would be named the English diver.
Right. Okay. Stop talking about the penalty now.
By the way, Dan, was not a handball from Maradona either.
No. No.
He headed it. He clearly headed it.
Peter Shilton. How can you get that?
And Frank Lampard.
Right. Sorry, Pete.
Close the line.
Ian, how is England? And how's it been over the last 24 hours? Bonkers, I imagine.
Ashamed.
It was crazy. Nobody wanted to leave the stadium last night. Everybody wanted to stay and party. Everybody was singing outside. People were already drunk outside the ground. I mean, in a very, very happy way. I mean, all the newspapers, I don't know if you can see that. This is the very serious Times of London, which has heavy news on the front page. Ooh. There's the front page today.
Yes.
You know, and there are pages and pages inside of every newspaper. The place has gone a little bit crazy, understandably. As you were saying, Dan, nobody really can ever remember England being in a final. All they can remember is the years of heartbreak and agony and lost penalty shootouts. And, well, it's all been torture, really. I mean, most people think it's going to go wrong. They were even thinking that, I think, after 119 minutes last night. Something's going to happen. It's going to go wrong. Well, it didn't go wrong this time. And now everybody's just looking forward to what should be a great final against Italy.
It's a little bit too early, don't you think?
That's what I was thinking. I thought England the celebration was a little early.
They're in final.
It's the first time they've ever made a European Championship final.
Yeah,
that's
but
history.
It's not. It's not history. It's when you end something. It's not when you're about to.
You've already achieved more than any other team in the history of the country tournament.
I think if you finish.
Why are you trying to ruin it again?
No, it's not that. We talked about
it's
that.
It's the Times of London.
If I had to choose between England and Italy, I wish England to win because they never won it. But if you finish runner up, I'm sorry, it's not history.
Of course it's
history. A failure.
They've never made the final before.
Oh, yeah. You are such a small country of football that you have. Just happy with the final, with just a runner-up position.
The headline is a true statement, isn't it?
No, it's not a statement, because a statement has to be done after the final. You cannot make a statement before final. I'm sorry.
So what would your headline say? England one step closer
to history. Good luck for the final. Good luck, mate. They can do history.
England make almost history.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
I'm not as arrogant as French. Maybe.
Oh, man. Ian, looking ahead to the final, will it be the same 11? Is that what we're expecting?
I wouldn't want to try and second guess because you know what lineups are like. They tend to be state secrets. I think that the one position that's probably up for grabs is out on the right-hand side there. I think, he's only 19, Bukayo Saka of Arsenal. This has been a tremendous tournament. He seems to have overtaken Phil Foden, doesn't he, to be a starter. If I was gambling, I'd say, yeah, that'll be the lineup again. He may have another thought about it because it's Italy. But I think he likes really where the team are at. He likes how they are mentally. And I tell you, I mean, Frank's saying that he's right. You know, in a way, he's right. Because, yeah, England have made history by making a European final. They've never played in one. But I get Frank's point. They haven't won it yet. Mm. And Gareth Southgate, I mean, he's so calm. And he's got the players, I think, shut off from all the euphoria. They'll have celebrated and had a couple of beers last night, and then they'll have gone back, and they know the job isn't done yet. And I think that's one of the things that's impressive about this team. I wondered what would happen to them when they went behind, when they hit trouble in a game. That hadn't happened to them in this tournament. It had all gone swimmingly. Then they went behind against Denmark. From that point, they started to play better in the game. I thought that was quite impressive.
Yeah, because, you know, at the end of the day, Dan, I think about the player, the English player. If the England lose in final, players from Liverpool, Manchester City, Chelsea, who won Champions League, the Premier League, the FA Cup, everything, you're telling them, well, you know, you made history. You reached the final of the Euro for the first time. They don't care.
Of course they do.
No, they don't. They want to win.
Right. No,
they,
I get it.
They're competitors. They want to win.
Right.
Being runner-up is not a, okay. It's not a, you know, an ending for
Pen
them.
A letter to the Times and complain about their headline.
All right.
Jordan Pickford.
Yes.
Has been great all tournament.
Correct.
Was not great against Denmark.
No, there were some interesting things early on.
What did you make of the goal?
Look, I agree with what Macca and Tim said on the broadcast.
He doesn't see the
was spot. That it was from distance. Yeah, I'm not sure if he got caught leaning, trying, because sometimes what will happen is you try to lean around a wall.
Look at the three players, the three red players, they go.
And he just sees it, and obviously he sees it late, but I think the big criticism is look at where this ball goes into the net. It's a good 2 yards from the corner.
Right.
And there's that assumption as a goalkeeper that, look, if it goes in the upper corner over the wall, fair enough. Mm. Nobody says anything. But there's that little zone. Obviously, this side of the wall you have to save.
Mm-hmm.
And then this little zone, you know, a yard or two there, you should
save. But, Casey, when you start seeing the ball when it goes over the wall.
Correct.
Do you think you have the time to react, even if you're like 2 yards away from there?
You do, but it's less. Obviously. Now, okay. where the criticism would be stronger or less, let's just say, if it was that much closer and the wall is basically at your penalty spot or even inside, then you have almost no time to
see move, yeah. You saw here, the wall make that move just before he kicked it. Obviously, a premeditated.
Correct. 100%. They're trying to block every opportunity you have to see
little
the ball.
Shuffle across.
Hit but that, close that gap, and he saw it late. I mean, it's not a huge criticism.
Right.
And it shouldn't be a huge criticism. I always look at conceding goals as in different categories.
The thing is,
I should have, I could have, and 100% that was my fault.
Right.
That's one of those in between should have and could have.
I see.
You know, that's the way I would
But my biggest criticism of Jordan Pickford is not whether he allows this goal in or not. It's, you got to calm down, bro.
Yeah.
You sense the nervous energy with him in goal. If I'm a center back, I turn around. Jordan, relax, bro. All right, it's hard enough to play against this guy. We don't need you and creating nervous energy over here. Yeah, calm down. Be That's a leader. True. Organize
it. You saw that with the distribution a couple times when he throws the ball out and it's like, oh, you know. Yeah, there's that point when you need that. People talk about all the time, the goalkeeper that has that calming influence. Yeah. And look, Pickford was under an absolute ton of criticism before this tournament started. There was a lot of schools in England that felt that he shouldn't be the starter. Southgate stuck with him. You know, they went 6 matches with conceding 1 goal. I mean, obviously, they've been doing something right.
Yes.
There's a little bit of criticism that's due on that goal. And some of the movements early on where there did see some nervous energy that maybe got to him a little bit. But in the end, he calmed himself down and conceded the 1 goal and they got through.
He is not in Gavin Jules's combined 11, when you
really
take a look at the Italy squad and the England squad, Donnarumma is there. If we take a look at it overall,
the second goalkeeper of Paris
is that Gab from high school?
Come on, man.
He had a surgery.
Walker, Chiellini, Maguire, Shaw, Verratti, Jorginho, Mount, Chiesa, Kane, and Sterling. I tell you, it's a good team. Mancini, meanwhile, is the head coach over Southgate.
So Southgate can be the assistant.
Do you have any qualms with this at all, Ian?
That's a pretty good selection, isn't it? I might have tried to find a place, I think, for Declan Rice, because I think his energy and mobility around the midfield will be something you might be looking for there. I would ask that. I mean, it's a debate, isn't it? I'll be interested to hear what the guys think. Why Mancini over Gareth Southgate? Gareth Southgate has revolutionised the whole England culture. He's got England to a World Cup semi-final, now a European Championship final. So I think that's I'd maybe go Southgate over Mancini.
Oh, wow. Mm. Well, Mancini, of course, it's incredible. What's it, 34 games?
Right.
Unbeaten.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is, because it's an immediate success for Mancini, where, you know, we didn't expect to see Italy at that level. It's why it's more impressive coming from Italy, where we knew all the bettings from the bookies were saying that England were the favorites.
I'd say two other reasons.
Yeah.
Style points have definitely gone to Italy, and also a way harder bracket to get to this point.
Yeah.
Going that Mancini that they've had to go across.
It's 33 games. I think Frank said 34.
Of course, I'm always wrong. I'm sorry.
I think he's thinking soon to be 34.
yeah. Sorry.
What's wrong with him? Why is he doing?
Well,
right
you know what? He was on his own for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You know, his wife is about to come back.
You took him under his wing.
You know, he wants to show that he owns the territory, whatever it is, and whatever he wants to.
Do you have any problems with that team, Alan?
I wouldn't have Verratti in that team simply because he has not participated the whole tournament.
Mm.
And I agree with Ian in the sense that Declan Rice deserves a place because of how important he has been to England. As it pertains to Mancini, England just says that, or Ian just said that Southgate revolutionized England. Well, you can say the very same thing about Mancini and how he has revolutionized Italy in the way and the manner in which they're playing and how they're winning games. This is not the Italy that we all grew up with. No. This is not the Italy that we have seen winning tournaments, just scoring one goal, sitting behind the ball, and that's it. Game over, game set, match. This team wants to play. And a lot of that has to do with Mancini and the personnel he has available.
The bookies have England as favourites. Obviously, English bookies are always going to prefer as well the home side going into this clash. They don't want to lose all their money. England 5-4 on. Meanwhile, Italy are evens. Ian, I imagine this is the last time me and you will be together before the final. So I have to ask you for a prediction.
Well, I think England have never lost in 90 minutes, a tournament game played at Wembley. So now you're talking the 1966 World Cup, the 1996 Euros, and this European Championship. They are, for all their limitations, and I'll accept, Italy have been the most exciting, charismatic team at the tournament. But England are mighty hard to beat at Wembley. So I think those odds are about right. I think it's about 52-48 in England's favour.
So what's your prediction, Ian?
I think I'd say England to win after extra time.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait, after he just told us that England has never lost a 90-minute game, now he's going all the way to extra time.
Well, they wouldn't have lost. Ali, they wouldn't have lost in 90 minutes if it goes to extra time. It'd be level, wouldn't it?
It's right. It's Ali's birthday. It's a bit salty today, Ian. Ian, enjoy the final, man. It should be an incredible experience.
And happy birthday to Ali. Have a great night, Ali.
Thank you.
Oh, everyone's being nice. Do you want to say anything to Ian before he goes?
No. Well done for the old career. He's been absolutely fantastic.
Oh, wow, he's not retiring.
He already retired, Ian. He's not going away.
Frankie retired, yeah.
Well, I never said that. I wanted... Until now, it's been absolutely fantastic. Come on.
Check out the Gavin Tools podcast.
How can you come with a negative comment of what I just said about somebody?
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Not bad. Copa America final is on Saturday. Argentina against Brazil. It's the one we all wanted, Adam.
Well,
apart from, wait. Yeah,
unless
sorry.
You're from Venezuela.
Let me rephrase that.
Yeah, but we don't see
And it's difficult to bury the big story, which is Messi against Neymar. Messi looking, of course, for that first pit of silverware with Argentina.
And to do it in Brazil, against Brazil. Now, let's not forget the last time that Argentina was playing a final in Brazil was the World Cup. Against Germany in Maracanã. This is where this game is going to be played. So I have to imagine that for Lionel Messi, there are a lot of thoughts about what happened in that final, what could have been in that final, what should have been, how that may have changed the perception of Lionel Messi. And whether he takes this in for motivation or not, what I can tell is that Lionel Messi has been outstanding in this tournament. 4 goals, 5 assists, everything that he's done for Argentina in this tournament has been productive, and we have seen the very best of Lionel Messi. And they need the very best of Lionel Messi because this is a team that sets up defensively first. And then something that Messi does makes a difference here, makes a difference there, has a little bit of moment of magic, and that's how they're winning matches. Contrast that to whatever Brazil are doing, that they have been dominant throughout the tournament. Has had a couple little little dips in performances in the last couple of games, but overall you feel like Brazil has been the better team, and yet it's Messi, it's a final, it's Argentina, it's Brazil, it's everything that Copa America would have wanted, and everything that CONMEBOL would have wanted.
And I think the fans won't be there, the attendance. It would have been in Brazil with a full attendance. Would I say Brazil's really favorite? But it's going to be empty.
Yes.
And for the players, it makes a huge difference. And so
for the referees.
And for the referees.
You
mean that? You mean if without fans, Jesus could still do that?
But without fans, maybe Danny McAlealy does not call a penalty for England.
We go back there.
It all comes around, baby.
No, football is always coming home.
History makers, anyone? Gabriel Jesus, as Casey said, obviously not available.
Not available. He's available, but he's not allowed to.
How are they going to resolve that? Is it Firmino? Is it that simple?
Well, what they've tried to do is play Everton down on the right-hand side and have him be the guy that takes players on 1v1 situations. Now, it's a decision as to what Everton does Tite want to play. Everton, or does he want to play Everton Ribeiro? Everton is a guy that will go in one-on-one situations. Ribeiro is more of a possession sort of player. In the end, whether that's Everton or Ribeiro or Paquetá or whoever they play, Firmino, so on and so forth, it really does come down to Neymar. And I cannot tell you how important Neymar has been to Brazil in this tournament in that, look, he's been special. Hate him, love him, whatever. He's been special. The assist the other day to Paquetá in the semifinal, how he gets away from three defenders and then gets a set of finds Paquetá, good finish by Paquetá. But that's just a snapshot of how good Neymar has been in the tournament. Neymar at his best, Lionel Messi right now at this point of his career at his best. It's going to be one heck of a final if they decide they're going to play.
Yeah.
If these teams make it about playing. If they make it about a foul fest like it was between Colombia and Argentina in the semifinals, in which it was 46 fouls and 10 yellow cards, which it could very well happen between Argentina and Brazil, then it's different. But if these teams decide that they're going to play, it should be a great final.
Is it an Argentinian side that thinks they can play against the Brazilian side? I mean, because if you look at the two teams on paper, you think Brazil, particularly being at home, even though there's no fans there, are the stronger side. Obviously, Messi's playing phenomenal, Neymar's. But does Argentina then say, let's just kick them?
What Argentina have found in this tournament is a goalkeeper that they've been desperate for, of course, really, for years. What did you make of Martinez's antics during the penalty shootout? As we mentioned, no crowds, which meant you could hear clearly with the Mina penalty, for example. I know where you're going. You're going to miss this.
Look, I mean, I've never been a fan of that kind of stuff. I always thought you win with class and you lose with class. And Martinez took it too far. I get the little bit of talk, but some of the antics afterwards are... There were some...
You wouldn't be thrusting
anything. There were some WWE antics going on here.
Let's also not forget that 3 weeks ago, these teams were playing in World Cup qualifiers. And so there are things that you carry with you in terms of rivalries, in terms of attitude, in terms of behaviors. There is something about Yerry Mina that can be really annoying because there's a guy that, for a big guy, center back, whatever, he scores a goal, he's dancing and he's singing and he's getting one of these. And get it. And so when you miss a penalty, then people are also going to run their mouths. And it kind of, what goes around comes around.
Yeah.
Also, I love Borja, the player for Colombia. Once he made his penalty and Emiliano Martinez had been running his mouth, he went and celebrated right in his face.
Right.
And, it's all fair and it's all in play.
Yeah.
As long as it's done within the boundaries, I wouldn't say of class, but within the boundaries of the game, I don't mind it whatsoever.
Let's just take a look then how the bookies have things. What a weekend. It's going to be in the Thomas household, by the way. Brazil on Saturday, England Sunday. Oh. It'll be very good.
Stress-free.
Wow. Very bad.
You are the top of the world.
Argentina outside is 11-8. Brazil 4-7 on. Of course, Brazil have got a great record. You take a look at recent Copas and they have dominated, especially when you look at Argentina and their run during recent tournaments where they haven't won. Go back to 1997. Like all of those, it's either Brazil, Chile, Uruguay, or Colombia. Argentina on the losing side in the final four occasions.
Times. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's a big.
Can they turn that around, or will it be a fifth?
You know what? It feels like it may just be meant to be for Lionel Messi and Argentina. And we just mentioned earlier that Brazil had been dominant throughout the tournament, but they've been trending in the wrong direction. As the tournament has advanced, they seem to be getting worse and worse, whereas Argentina seems to be getting better. I'm going to go with Argentina. I'm going to go with Lionel Messi.
Wow.
Maybe this is more of a career award and lifetime achievement award than anything else for me and Lionel Messi. And the emotion that Messi has shown in this tournament. There's an engagement to Lionel Messi in this tournament that perhaps people haven't appreciated in the past. But maybe because there aren't fans out there, you hear everything and you see everything and all the behavior from Lionel Messi. He's been fully into this. I'm going to take Argentina beating Brazil in Brazil.
Wow. Yeah. What a moment that would be. Just a reminder, we'll be looking ahead to this game in more detail on the next edition of ESPN FC. Probably a little bit of talk of England, Italy as well.
What? Oh, no.
Again?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Meanwhile, Diego Simeone has put pen to paper on a new contract at Atletico Madrid. The Argentine set to stay there until 2024. His record is just exceptional. The way that he has turned this club around, Ali.
Yeah.
That they are a real contender.
And there's been a couple of times in which I thought to myself, you know what? I think he's done as well as he could possibly do at Atletico Madrid. Maybe it's time for him to go away and for Atletico Madrid to go in a different direction. I could not have been more wrong because he continues to challenge this group to become better and better and stronger and much more of a challenge for Barcelona and Real Madrid. And when Barcelona and Real Madrid could not be consistent enough this past season, they were.
Yeah.
When it came to winning time, they won the matches, Barcelona and Real Madrid did not. The history of Atletico Madrid in terms of their success begins with Diego Simeone and ends with Diego Simeone.
Yeah.
He is very much an integral part of all the success they've had. And most of all, the change in terms of the identity and the personality of the players and the club in believing that they can compete with Barcelona, that they can compete with Real Madrid.
You think when you were in La Liga, they weren't in the conversation.
No, well, my experience in La Liga, my first year, we play Atletico away, first match of the season, and we beat them 2-0. That season, they get relegated.
Right.
I mean, obviously, they were having a whole bunch of problems with the government coming into the front office and taking over the club. So, yeah, and then to be able to go from that point to where they are now. The thing I love seeing, you know, we're in a business that is so quick to get rid of them, bring somebody else in. Let's do something different. Look at some of the dynasties, Frank, that we played against. Manchester United with Alex Ferguson for so long. Arsene Wenger at Arsenal. Mm. There is a consistency of success.
Yeah.
There was a talk with Alex Ferguson after they slipped up and lost to Leeds for the title. Yeah. Okay, let's get rid of him and see what's happened. And I love that Simeone has been able to say, I love this club. I love what we're doing. They've given him the backing, and they've had this level of consistency that Atletico Madrid has never had in the past.
Completely the contrary of what we see with the biggest enemy, Real Madrid.
Correct.
Yeah. Where it's hard worker in a club, consistency in coach matters. Where, and Real Madrid, you have Sparkles, Galacticos, mm-hmm. and. 10 coaches in 8 years, maybe.
Yeah. But it goes back down to who's in charge.
Yeah.
We know who's in charge at Atletico Madrid. Yes. We knew who was in charge at Manchester United. It wasn't players talking to the owners and doing things. No, you do it Diego Simeone's way or you're gone.
You see, the best example of what not to do is Paris Saint-Germain, where you don't give the power to a coach.
Mm. Yeah.
Simeone has the power, Ferguson had the power, Arsene Wenger had the power, and they did great. Paris Saint-Germain, Pochettino wanted to leave 3 months after coming because he realized that he had no power.
And obviously Pep has the power at Man City, and we're seeing a club do what they do.
Just a reminder, every single La Liga match will be live on ESPN+. For Atleti, well, they kick off the defense of their title away against Celta Vigo. Barca, meanwhile, play host to Real Sociedad, and it's Real Madrid away against Alaves.
Rayito.
What?
Sevilla. Rayo.
Oh, yeah, Sevilla, Rayo.
Come on.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Strange to see him here. Sergio Ramos in a PSG shirt. The deal done. He has signed a 2-year contract with the French giant. Smiles all around. The inevitable pose. But what does it mean for PSG and their Champions League credentials? Well, you take a look at the bookies. They got PSG fifth favourites behind City, Bayern Munich, Liverpool, Chelsea as well. Is that about right? Does Sergio Ramos move the needle at all for you, Frank, and their quest to win the Champions League?
I'm very fond of Sergio Ramos and I wish him the best, and he's been a fantastic player and leader for Real Madrid. Now the only question marks is he's aging, and he's been injured a lot last season. What kind of performance is going to give to Paris Saint-Germain? If it's Sergio Ramos for, I would say, a year and a half ago, I have no doubt that it will be a plus. If it's Sergio Ramos from last season, nothing will happen.
I don't get it.
Well, we discussed this last week, and the whole idea of what PSG is trying to do, that's the part that I don't quite understand. It would seem like it would be in the best interest of PSG to try to get younger. And it seemed like that was the path they were taking when they decided that, you know what, Thiago Silva is not for us. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the point of allowing Thiago Silva to walk out the door and bring Sergio Ramos in? Are you telling me that right now, at this point in his career, Sergio Ramos is significantly better than whatever Thiago Silva could give you? It doesn't seem to make sense. For Sergio Ramos, it does make sense because they offer him what Real Madrid were not willing to offer. Which again tells me, if you're PSG, I have to ask myself the question. Why, if Real Madrid that see this guy work on a daily basis and have dealt with his injuries over the last season, why are they not willing to give him the 2 years? Yeah. Maybe because they don't trust that he can stay fit, that he can stay healthy. And if that's the case, why are we giving them or giving this guy 2 years? It doesn't seem to make sense for me.
Switching gears slightly, the biggest flop, no doubt about it, horrible performance from France in the European Championships.
where some other people are making history.
Despite that, Didier Deschamps will stay on as coach. Which right decision, in your opinion?
I think it is, because the World Cup is in a year and a half from now, and some others, and maybe Zidane, would have taken the job. Maybe he wouldn't have had time to settle down, maybe a new way of playing, new players. Right. I think it's a continuity of kind of a success for Didier Deschamps. Of course, it's maybe a step backwards or maybe a failure, whatever you want to call it. But what he achieved since he took charge is quite successful.
Right.
Quarterfinal of the World Cup, final of the Euro, then winning the World Cup. They were going to defend their title. And he changed the spirit. It's what we thought, the spirit of the player in the dressing room. Now he has to sort out some issues with some players, leaderships, Mbappe, Griezmann, Pogba, I don't know who's going to be the leader.
Rabiot's mother.
Yeah. Making sure that people don't go into the stand, into stands, maybe. But the quality is there. It was a failure. It was a very big disappointment for the French supporters. But the talent is there.
Right.
If they go back to who they were in 2018, they can again win the World Cup. So I think it's good to have the same coach to deal with those players.
Meanwhile, I've been hearing a lot from Jose Mourinho, haven't we, recently? And modest as ever, this is what he had to say about his recent managerial roles. I won 3 trophies at Manchester United, and that was seen as a disaster. I reached a cup final, which I was not allowed to play at Tottenham, and that was seen as a disaster. What's a disaster for me is considered a great success for others. I feel drawn to the former Spurs, man.
Obviously, there's a history of Jose Mourinho being extremely successful.
Yep.
And when he's brought into Manchester United, it wasn't to win a League Cup.
Yes. Or the Europa League.
Or a Europa League. It was to win Champions League and to get Manchester United back to winning the Premier League. And so, yes, I think in certain circumstances, I understand where he's coming from. And I also understand at Tottenham that he got them to a cup final. They hadn't been in a cup final I think since 99, or no, 90, 2001 maybe, yeah, in Cardiff.
Yeah.
I was on the bench. I hope I was there. But
who was playing ahead of you, Case?
Neil Sullivan at that stage, before I had won the starting spot. But he gets Tottenham to a cup final, and then to have it go the way it was. Look, I understand it, but Jose Mourinho comes with so much and so much past success. Right. Yeah. You expect him to give you more than what he was able to do at those.
Did you notice that Casey had no recollection whatsoever of who the clown in front of him was?
That was it.
That guy's not important to me.
No.
What's important is that eventually I made into the starting lineup. That's the part of history that you should remember.
Neil, yes. It was a good battle.
What a very political answer. 2008, they won the League Cup. Frank, what do you think of Jose Mourinho saying that the bar... he's judged higher than other managers because of what he's achieved.
No, I don't buy it. I mean, as Casey said, you know, when you see Jose Mourinho at the head of a big team with money, with a history, you expect better from
him.
And the League Cup, I'm sorry, is not enough to say and to brag and say, well, I want it. We don't care. Jose Mourinho winning a League Cup.
Yeah.
I don't hire Jose Mourinho with a huge wage, with you spending to make the team winner to win a League Cup. No, I'm sorry. I don't buy it. Jose has to do better. Maybe he cannot do anymore. We'll see what he's going to do with Roma. But what he did for Manchester United and Spurs is not enough for the standard of a coach like him.
Extra time, as always, is available over on our YouTube channel. On today's episode, we talk about Frank upsetting waiters, shorts, and, of course, celebrate Ali's birthday.
Hey!
No cake. No cake.
It's always good for others and bad for me.
Wow.
That's what you say.
Controversy.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's this now, Ali?
Oh.
To celebrate your birthday, we thought we'd find...
Oh, change of pace, speed, finish, Vamos, Venezuela! That's right. Hey, Frank, I would have squared you up like that, and then you would have kicked me. That's what
it
would
have happened. Look at that.
Can we talk, Casey, about the position?
I was going to say,
don't talk about that.
In a shockastrophic.
Where were you?
Hey, but how about the genius of me seeing it?
Yes, true.
And finding that far post.
That's fair enough. But the goalkeeper?
Who's the goalkeeper?
It should have been saved.
Danny Cepeda.
Wow.
You never forget a buddy.
No.
Never forget a friend.
When somebody offers you a gift, you know, you always reply by saying,
yeah, you reward them.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. As I dribble and I looked up, I said, what is he doing there?
Yeah, he's too much on the left. Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to hit it.
Sure. Perfect.
And he still should have saved it.
Hey, thank you very much, guys. Stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Casey, Frank and Ali alongside me. Frank, the first one is for you.
Oh.
Let Frank say hi, everybody. Welcome to Extra Time in French.
Bonjour à tous. Bienvenue à Extra Time.
Oh.
And Extra Time, I say it in an Extra Time French way.
Oh, beautiful.
Inspirational stuff there, Frank. Yes. Really felt like now.
You felt it?
Went into it. Paris.
Welcome to my show.
Have you wished Ali a happy birthday yet in French?
No. Alejandro, joyeux anniversaire.
Oh,
what a moment.
What is your age?
42.
Oh, 42 ans.
There we go.
Very
did Ali get some rare love from his family as it was his birthday, or just more booing?
Well, booing is good morning, and then things got better after that.
Yes. What they do at night when they say good evening, say good night? Well, they throw you stuff.
I actually go to sleep before everybody, so that.
Did you get any nice gifts, Sally, or gifts that you had to pretend were nice?
Well, tonight I hope I show up and maybe there will be.
So
a
she hasn't
cake.
Got, she didn't get you anything yet. She's at the mall now?
No. We had a nice family lunch. And she fixed some Venezuelan food.
Lovely.
And she's done a wonderful job so far.
Wow.
And then hopefully tonight it'll be a cake, a little something, you know. Sing happy birthday with the family. It's going to be a beautiful time.
Wow.
Oh, well done.
Ali, would you feel bad about earning a penalty in the manner that Sterling did?
No. 100% no. I do not blame Sterling for any of this. Referee, VAR, they have the responsibility.
Right.
Had I been Sterling, I would have done exactly the same thing Sterling did.
These South Americans diving all the time.
Yeah. Where's Sterling from? Montevideo?
Yes.
Jamaica, no?
Buenos Aires.
The outer part of Montevideo, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, and we talked about that, I would have loved to see the other way around, you know, a German referee giving a penalty to Denmark in semi-final of at Wembley.
Yeah. Never happened.
I don't want to say whether it would have happened.
Can I also tell you that what Sterling did could be a masterclass in my diving camp?
Right.
This is the one that we show the kids and say, if you want to draw a foul, this is how you do it.
Yeah,
Ian Dark is with us, of course, part of the English media. Mm. Mm. Why is it that the English media and people castigate foreign players when they show theatrics on pitches, but turn a blind eye when it's a fellow countryman, Ian?
Ooh.
Well, they don't, is the answer to that. I mean, it happens all the time in the Premier League that players are getting called out for diving. The fact of the matter is, the referees in this tournament have been really good. Danny Mackley, one of the best in the world, thought it was a penalty. The VAR thought it was not a clear and obvious error with the original decision. I think he should have made Mackley go over to the monitor to look at it again. There's no doubt about it. It was extremely harsh. It was soft. Gareth Southgate admitted that. But were Denmark that hard done by? No, I don't think they were, frankly. I think they were playing for the penalties from halftime onwards, and the better team won the football match.
We talked about the penalty a lot, of course, during the show. So moving on for Frank. Mm. As your old mate Viali is part of the Italy setter, will you be supporting them in the final? Or do you hate Italians like most French do?
Oh,
Well, it goes the other way around. I think it's we talked about that with Alessandro Del Piero. I have many Italian friends, but it's true that when we talk about culture, you know, food, wine, countryside,
yes,
style, whatever it can be, we hate each other. That's true. And in terms of football, we hate each other since many French players went to play in Italy, and that happened. But I don't. It's like I'm the same way, you know. England, we have a history with England, we have a history with Italy.
So who will you be supporting?
Nobody. I'm not a fan.
You must want to support one team. You want one team to win.
I think I would say that it would be nicer to see England winning because they didn't win as much as Italy. Mm-hmm. Italy already won 3 World Cups, I think. 1 Euro in 1968. And England won only 1 World Cup, never won the Euro.
Okay.
So I think it would be.
So you hate Italy, you want England to win?
Okay, so if it goes that way, it's only I hate or I love.
That's
okay.
It.
Okay, whatever.
Hate or love. That's...
Did you notice the part in which he said style? He said style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Who is more anxious, Casey, to finally win silverware? Messi in Argentina or England?
Wow.
Oi.
Hey. I think Messi himself, maybe.
Yes.
Just to be able to exercise and not have exercise those ghosts and not have any issues with being compared to Maradona and all that kind of stuff. But I think general public-wise, the English.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been obviously Argentina has been far more successful from 1966 until now. So I would say the English.
How is Messi not the consensus Ballon d'Or winner this year, Ali?
Because Robert Lewandowski is.
Right.
Simple as that. It doesn't mean that Messi did not have a good season with Barcelona, even though Barcelona had a down year. Whatever good they did came from Lionel Messi. And whatever good Argentina are doing right now in Copa America, it's coming from Lionel Messi. Regardless, Lewandowski's season was outstanding.
What is becoming really, really important, you know, in people's mind, people who love football, to know who's going to be Ballon d'Or.
They're obsessed with it.
Yeah, it wasn't at my time. It wasn't
it wasn't
15, 20 years ago.
No,
we didn't talk about it, and now it's becoming something very important. So I don't know. It's that bothers me a lot.
Do you think some of it was maybe just the rivalry between Messi and Ronaldo, and the numbers that they put forward?
Maybe.
With each other and a little bit of...
But maybe because of the players also, Pogba, at the beginning of his career, the first thing that he was saying, he wanted to win the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's very strange. Yeah.
For Ian, does your arm ever get tired holding the microphone when doing commentary, or do you get used to it after a while?
Yeah, I'm pretty used to holding a microphone. It's not that heavy. It's talking like it's... a huge weight. It's pretty light and it's easy to use. And it's quite a strange question.
I think it's good like that.
Do you switch arms, Ian?
Yeah.
Will you switch off from left to right?
Half time, right, left.
Truly right arm, left arm? What do you got going on there, Ian?
I'd like to tell you I had some kind of crazy system going on where every 12 minutes a little bell goes beside me and I switch arms. But I honestly have anything I'm thinking about. To be honest, it's too much to think about commentating on a football match than to worry about what microphone you're holding in which arm. But of course, in the United States, we don't have those old-fashioned lip microphones, which look like they were invented in about 1912.
Yeah.
I think we just jinxed him now. Now, in the final,
he's going to be thinking about
arm am I holding.
Is it like a pre-match routine? Like maybe you're holding a banana for the time, kind of really getting into the mood?
Do a few push-ups to warm
exactly.
up.
Cup of coffee, an hour to go. Maybe a little croissant as well, because you don't want to get hungry in the middle of it.
A little trip to the loo beforehand.
Ian, do you still get nervous?
Then I'm looking through.
Do you still get nervous?
It's kind of pathetic and geekish, but I'm kind of looking through binoculars to check the colour boots of the players.
Yes.
Because when they get on the far side, it's a long way away, so the identification just becomes that little bit trickier. And then you're practicing the pronunciations. It's all quite dull, but you hope the broadcast isn't.
Do you get nervous, Ian, still?
No, a kind of controlled adrenaline. I think anyone who's done games, and you've got guys there who've done the commentary, a co-commentary job as well. So, yeah, it's just a controlled adrenaline, getting yourself ready. But I can imagine the guys there, I mean, all great professional players, it must be far, far worse for them standing in that tunnel. I often wonder, well, what are you feeling before you're going to go out there?
Before I broadcast a match, it's far less nervous than thinking I'm going to let a ball go through my legs.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
Oh, no, I mispronounced a name. Oh, no, what am I? Yeah. Whoops.
Controlled adrenaline is a great way of describing it.
I want to have a question for Jan.
No, we don't have time.
Oh, come on. Do they know each other, you know, from the French famous commentator with him and Spanish or German? Do you socialize with them or not? Because do you know Thierry Roland? Well, have you known Thierry Roland?
No. Well, it's interesting you're saying this, Frank, because that's one thing we've really missed at these Euros. When it's all in one country and there's a media center that's open, because of COVID, there's none of that. So yes, we do mix. And one of the things we often do is, can I just check the pronunciations with you of the French players? So,
right.
He might ask me to just double check on the English players and so on. So yeah, we kind of try to help each other. So there is a bit of a camaraderie. We're all in the same boat.
All right. Casey, is it better to save a penalty and then concede the ensuing rebound, or to have never saved it at all?
Never saved it at all.
Really?
Nothing as frustrating as making that save and then being helpless as it gets then not.
Wait, can you get angry at your teammates? Because
I think if it goes in certain areas, but if it goes straight back to the shooter,
they don't have the time
nobody has time to react to that. But yes, very, very frustrating.
Ali and Frank, what's the most difficult thing about speaking or understanding English, whether it's British or American?
Well, the guys that I work with on a daily basis, outside of you, Dan.
Yes.
I don't know that they speak English.
This is Craig and Stevie. This is the Scottish contingent.
Well, mostly Stevie. there are times in which we're in the golf course and I have no earthly idea what he's saying.
Are you still there? Because I'm...
Well, no, because I don't understand the literal meaning of what he's saying is because he talks in some sort of language that is like coded.
Slang, yeah.
Yeah, and so I don't know exactly what he means. I know what he's saying literally, but I don't know what he means exactly. And I learn every day. I go and play golf with a guy and he says something and I have to ask him, Stevie, what's that mean?
Yeah. Right.
I can never understand Craig on the golf course because he's always about 150 yards ahead of me.
No, but that I think the main difficulty for me is the differences of accents.
Right.
And, and some people like the Scottish, but also I went to Malaysia with Steve McManaman and Robbie Fowler was there, and we talked about it yesterday. I couldn't
the two scouses together yeah. talking to each other.
I couldn't start
other,
understand
sure.
a word of what he was saying, and that's and it's very frustrating because you say he speaks English. How come I can't understand a word? But and you said they have the cut words. They have some stuff like the Cockney would say, "Can I use your phone?" They would say, "Can I use your dog and bone?"
Yeah.
But if you're not,
or they'll just say, "Can I use your dog?"
Yeah.
Thinking that you actually know that it's dog and bone, which means phone.
Yeah.
So look, it was no different, you know, for me being a native English speaker, coming into a country for the first time that is supposedly a native English speaker at Millwall and having a couple teammates who are Glaswegian, a couple teammates who are Geordies, obviously the Cockneys.
Yeah.
And there are times when I'm looking at them like I might as well have been in Spain or Germany because I had no idea what
they
were
saying. I have to say, an English person will listen to a French-Canadian.
Right.
It would be very, very hard. It's also hard for
really?
Me. I have my best friend, he's from Montreal, but sometimes when he speaks and he wants to make me laugh because we have laughed. With the way they speak, because they speak a very ancient, I would say, French, and words we don't use. When they swear, they use religious words where we don't use them anymore. But when you go to, you would be English, and you go to Marseille or you go to Strasbourg where they have a very strong accent, I tell you, you won't get it.
Going back to the golf course with Stevie, one of the first things that I notice is you get a bad bounce or whatever, and he goes, "How's your Donald Duck?"
Yeah.
I was like, what? So, how's your Donald Duck? I mean, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
How's your luck?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So you had a Scotsman giving you Cockney rhyming slang. So what chance?
No, that's too much. That's too much.
Yeah.
Who does the crew think was to blame for the Italian restaurant incident, Frank or the waiter? Frank went to Boston, got into a big argument with a waiter at Italian restaurants.
Okay, and what was the reason?
And what?
Because it took so long to...
Well, after 45 minutes, I have to say, a family was next to me, and the guy, the father said to me, he said, it's too long, how is possible? And I just say, after 45 minutes, I'm sorry, where did you get the spaghetti from? Are they coming straight from Rome, or I still have to wait longer? The guy say, it's coming, it's coming. I said, why you talk to me like that? You know, I'm about to pay something for food, and I feel like you belong to the mafia, and I shouldn't say anything to you. So I went a little bit too far, I have to say, but I don't know.
Frank's fault then.
Is that what we're saying? Are you afraid you may have paid for some extra stuff in that spaghetti as well?
I was scared that it was going into the kitchen. I checked all the spaghetti. Seemed to be okay,
is
but I'm not
that
sure.
Really clam? Yeah.
I didn't ask for any vongole.
Final question. Does Frank really think fashion is all about what other people think? Got to be honest, he's lost a lot of points in my book over the shorts debacle.
Oh.
Frank hates shorts.
Yes,
you can't wear shorts.
He wears Bermuda shorts.
Yes, exactly.
But only on vacation. Yeah.
And some of them, wow. It depends where. But I asked to Alessandro De Piero, I forgot yesterday.
He was pretty much wearing shorts yesterday.
No, he had, that's very, I don't really like it, but that's a style, and I respect that because it's a real style. Viali was doing that. We saw Sami Khedira doing that as well, and right. Alessandro does as well. We have very short, I would say, pants. But you ask next time you see Alessandro De Piero if he would go to restaurants with shorts. I can tell you, I know the answer.
But just shorts in general, this is the issue. This person is...
No, shorts in general, if you go walking, you know, down the street, I don't have any problem with you having shorts, you know, it's your problem. But you
can
go
problem.
Into a restaurant. If you go into a restaurant, you don't go with shorts.
I guarantee you this, Frank. If you had shown up at the Italian restaurant with shorts on, you would have gotten better service.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
What if it's a swim up beach restaurant? Are you allowed to?
Oh, no, you can go.
You're okay then.
You can even go with a flip flop.
Oh, that's all right. That's okay. That's right. Ian, where do you stand on shorts?
Fashion is a subject I try to stay off, really. You guys could give me several lessons. I'm not really a dedicated follower of fashion, but it's probably just as well I'm out of vision most of the time.
And to answer to the first question, I don't think it's all about what other people think, because I never followed every fashion. I think there is some rules of presenting yourself, you know, to the others.
Right.
And when you go to a restaurant, well, I'm not talking about McDonald's or whatever it could be.
We were sat outside,
but
on a terrace.
A nice table in a nice restaurant.
We were sat outside. That's why we're shorts. It's hot.
That doesn't matter. It's hot. Just go with underwear, though. Come naked.
I've got
whatever.
A walk.
You could be even nicer.
I've got to walk from my house to the restaurant. That's hot.
Work up a little sweat.
Oh yeah, jeans.
A little sticky.
I would be the owner of the restaurant. I'm sorry, Mr. Thomas. You know.
Wow.
I've seen you on TV. You look nice, but at the restaurant, you know, you don't come in.
But it's a terrace. You're outside.
Even though it's a restaurant, you have to have, you know, a certain, you know,
je ne sais quoi,
introduction of and respect for the others. Yeah. You know?
Respect for who?
Yes, you're so disrespectful, Dan. You and your shorts.
Dan,
so disrespectful.
Sort yourself.
Well, you didn't see the shorts that he was wearing.
It wasn't even nice shorts.
It wasn't even nice. You know, it would have been a nice shorts, maybe.
It's like workout shorts or something.
No, they were cargo. It looks like a long underwear. I mean, otherwise.
The legs were good though, weren't they?
Oh,
the legs are good.
Nice and pasty.
They're quite hairy, I would say, but that's another issue. Another problem.
We won't get into that now. I don't think that's an extra time conversation.
or any time conversation.
Happy birthday, Ali.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Ali.
Thank you.
We haven't got your cake.
Not your trimmer.
No cake or nothing. I said to Pete, Ali's birthday, and he said, no cake.
Oh, that's all right.
Wow.
Well, you know how Pete is.
Yeah,
Pete.
Exactly.